Hello and a really warm welcome to our podcast, Successful Student Transitions, A Time to Thrive, hosted by me, Louise Wiles, and Elizabeth Gillies. In our podcast, we aim to be a companion for young people as they step out of the world of school and into the world of work and study, and help them to thrive in these new environments. In this episode, we're focusing on the move to university as first-year students. Though I suspect a lot of what we discuss today will be applicable to many life transitions. And as I say that, I'm also thinking of students entering the exam period, many students in sixth forms and colleges, and also universities entering that lovely phase of exams as we head towards the end of the academic year. I think some of this, our conversation will be really applicable to this period of time as well. So today I'm excited to welcome Kim Soakes from Kindness for Success as my guest. So good morning, Kim.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
How are you? Are you well?
I am very well, thank you, and enjoying this sunny spell that we're having at the moment.
Yes, it's wonderful, isn't it? Lovely. It's amazing the difference the weather makes to smiles. I noticed that yesterday when I was shopping.
It really does, doesn't it? And just smiling, those, yeah, so people stop and say hello to you and yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely, it does.
Yeah, kinder faces, which kind of links into the subject for today.
Oh, it does.
What we're going to be talking about. So, Kim, how about you start by just introducing yourself a little bit and telling us a bit about the work that you do?
Yes, pleasure. So, as you said, I'm Kim. I'm a coach, and I work with people, often working mums, but really anyone navigating big life transitions. So obviously moving from sort of higher education into university is one of those. My background is HR. So I spent 15, 16 years in large corporates doing work in that space. I went to university myself. I went to Manchester Met and I loved it. And what I do now as a coach is very much around kindness and particularly towards ourselves and how it isn't just being nice to ourselves, but actually a real tool for thriving. So yes, I'm very much looking forward to this conversation with you today.
Brilliant. Okay. So I thought I'd start by challenging you a little bit and asking you to cast your mind back to university when you first started university.
Yes.
What do you remember about that experience in those early months?
Yes. So there's early weeks and months. And actually, I will take a moment just to, I can very clearly recollect my first day, and my parents and my sister, who must have been about, I don't know, 13 at the time, dropped me off. So we drove up to Manchester, so excited, but also had that, you know, the feeling in your tummy. But what I vividly remember is when they dropped me, I think we went for some last minute bits at the supermarket, and, you know, mum was faffing around in my room, and it was sort of that. We were all waiting for the, we knew they needed to go. So anyway, they were driving off. And I honestly remember in that moment, and I was crying, thinking, what am I doing? And I think in that minute, if they turned around and said, do you want to come in the car? I may have done. Mm. Now you're probably like, Kim, why are you saying that? But I think it's just to highlight that, you know, I was really excited. I had a great time at uni, but I think it is a huge transition. And I think, you know, we shouldn't underestimate that. So for anyone that is feeling, you know, those thoughts of nerves and, oh, maybe, you know, what am I doing? It's natural. Yeah, so I guess that was my sort of first day. But in, you know, in the early weeks and months, I think, yeah, huge highs, but, you know, also lows and everything in between. You're meeting so many new people. For most of you, I imagine it, you know, it's a new town, it's new routine. It might be the first time you've lived away from home. So you haven't got someone, you know, that you need to answer to in terms of you're going to be back for dinner or all of those things, which can be great. But also, I think we need to be realistic that it can feel, you're surrounded by people, but you can feel lonely because these are people that you've known 5 minutes. So, and you'll click with some people, which is great, but you still only know them on a very superficial level, to be honest. Some people you don't. And yeah, so there's lots of, I guess, emotions and things going around. But yes, it's probably longer ago than I care to admit, because I feel like, well, it's not that long ago.
Yeah. No, I can relate to all of that as well. Although, yeah, thinking back to those early days, yes, a real mix of feelings. And I think that's terror-cited. People talk about the combination of the word terror and excited together. And it's kind of a fear, but excited as well. You know, it's that mix of emotions. And I think that's so normal. And so for students listening to this, just know that feeling as you stand in your study room or your bedroom, just as your parents or whoever's taken you leave, that's just normal for so many people. And it's really a shared lived experience. So also remember that you won't be the only one feeling that way. So the person in the next room will probably be feeling that way too, and just wants to see a happy, smiley, welcoming face. So yeah, go and be that. And that's where the connections begin.
Exciting. Exactly. Yeah, it is exciting. Yeah.
Great. So we've talked a little bit about the challenges there that students are facing. And I think the move to sort of independent living and having to manage that, you know, every aspect of your life in a way. I mean, do you remember that? Do you remember?
I've got an anecdote actually that has just come to mind that I hadn't thought about when I was preparing for this. But I remember, I think it was my first week, and I was in halls of residence, and I was on the phone to my mum, and I put a jacket potato in the microwave, and I pricked it, as you do. And in my head, I knew jacket potatoes take about an hour, don't they, to cook. So anyway, I put the jacket potato in, set the microwave for an hour, and then went off to my dorm room. Now, suddenly, Vicky, her name was, came running out of the kitchen, banging on my door, Kim, the potato has exploded. I'm on the phone to my mum, being like, Mum, I've got to go. And I go in the kitchen, there was smoke, everywhere. And the potato was raw on the outside in black, like charcoal, like it set the smoke alarm off. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I remember Mum was obviously flapping because I'd had to leave, so I called her back and I was like, but it takes about an hour. She said, yes, Kim, in the oven, not in the microwave. Yes. That was a vivid memory. But so it's all of those sorts of things. And I think, as well as, there's some excitement, isn't there? Like sort of going to the supermarket and you suddenly feel like, oh, I remember feeling like, I'm grown up now and also I can shop.
Choose what you want to eat. Yeah.
And yeah. And then I guess the good old, again, I think this is quite common in unis where you're then, in your halls, someone will be like, someone's just taken the last of my milk, or did someone take some of my bread? And then people start labeling their things, but it all comes out in the wash. But yes, I many learnings from simple things like.
And the interesting thing is, you describe that, my daughter's just started uni this year, and similar stories, particularly the kitchen horrors and the stealing of milk and the arguments over cleanliness and washing plates and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, nothing changes.
Yes.
So
absolutely not.
But I think that's probably another encouraging thought, actually, as a student, to recognise that so many have gone before you and felt all of these challenges, or experienced all of these challenges and felt these frustrations and emotions. So, also to remember that it's not just you. Everyone over decades has felt similar. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I've got a great potato story, which I'll tell really quickly, because it just made me remember this. Was one of, I lived with a guy in a shared house with, and I can remember one day he was making something and he wanted to make mashed potatoes. And he said, do I peel the potatoes before I mash them? No, do I cook the potatoes before I mash them or afterwards? And we're like, don't try mashing an uncooked potato.
But it is
everyone goes
in
this wonder and naivety for everyone.
Yes.
Okay, so just thinking then about this experience, and we're all sitting there as new students experiencing things in similar ways and in other ways, quite different ways, because we all come from different backgrounds and environments. Yeah. But I think one of the things that we can find is that we begin to beat ourselves up a bit about how things are going, and when things go wrong, it's very easy to be quite cruel to ourselves, really, and to blame and to thoughts of lack and they not being good enough may come to mind. And so I wonder if you could talk to that a little bit, and then hopefully that will sort of lead us into thinking about how we can be kind to ourselves and to others as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if we take that first point, Louise, around being kind to ourselves, and as I said at the start, that's something that I'm passionate about and is one of the reasons I started for Kindness for Success. And also, I have had times through my life, including at uni and then into the workplace, where I haven't been kind to myself, and I have sort of suffered the impact of that, including anxiety and not feeling fulfilled, definitely not thriving. And that's why I am really passionate about the necessity of being kind to ourselves. So in terms of thinking about this conversation, I think as we have, you know, just to summarize what we've talked about so far, everybody, even the people that look as though they totally have it all together, they're happy all the time, they've made loads of new friends, you know, everyone will have wobbles, and some will be deeper wobbles than others, but everyone has it. So I think, you know, in terms of how can you show yourself kindness, is the first is reminding yourself that you aren't alone. And that I think is always reassuring. I'd say the second really important one is to give yourself permission to feel how you feel. So, you know, we can tell ourselves like, oh, I'm being silly, and oh, I should be feeling excited, I should be loving this new life, but instead acknowledge, I'm feeling nervous actually, which is understandable, and I won't be the only one. Or yes, I'm still finding my way. So it's almost what I often think of is, what would I say to my best friend in that situation? You know, would I say, you're being so silly, you should be enjoying it? No, I wouldn't. So give yourself permission to feel how you feel. A third one I think is remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. So it may even be making a list of reasons why you decided to go in the first place. And some of them might be short term. So, I mean, I'll be honest, when I went to uni, I just, like, my boyfriend of the time's older brother had gone and he had a whale of a time. So I wanted to have fun and meet new people. So it might be short term, like meeting new people, having fun, or it might be longer term about, you know, what you're thinking of doing for your career. So note down those things, and sometimes even the smallest things. So it might be like, oh, the new bedding that you just bought from IKEA and making your room yours, or be able to lie in late without someone nagging you. You know, so that reminder of why you're going. And then I'd say one that always I find it sort of reassuring is that you always have choices. Now, I remember someone saying to me once, you can always choose to open the door. So I think there's something comforting that. So it's not about sort of walking through the proverbial door, i.e. leaving at the first sign of worry or challenge, but it's about keeping a perspective. So if you get to a point where you think, oh my goodness, this isn't for me, I can't do it, there is always another door and choices. So I think I think that can have some comfort, but you've got that sort of balance then of reminding yourself of the reasons, and but also knowing, I'm sure for the vast majority of people listening, will be the right choice, but it doesn't mean that there won't be difficult challenges along the way. But I think as well, it can always feel quite reassuring to be like, okay, I'm not in prison. I'm not, do you know what I mean? I'm an adult now and I have choices, but it sort of helps in the perspective, I find. So those are some ways of being kind. And I think we'll probably come to it later. Brief overview perhaps of a tool that I've got that we'll share in the show notes, a self-kindness compass, which has got some navigating type questions to ask yourselves if you're feeling it.
Okay, well, come on to that. Let me just summarize those four points then. I think they're really important. So yeah, everyone has downs. So remember, you know, we all have ups and downs, and everyone will experience it in different ways, but it's not brilliant and fantastic for everyone all the time. And bear that in mind. To give yourself permission to feel that, those mixed emotions. because it's totally understandable in these new situations. Thirdly, remind yourself why you're there. This is a big one for me. I think this is so important to have some clarity around that. And fourth, always remember that you have choices. Yes. Choices in the way that you take on each day, take on the opportunities and find new opportunities as well. And I think universities are full of opportunities which present choices to be made. You can't do everything, but there will be some things that really interest you. So go and find those and get involved. And through that, then you develop your life at university, I think, as well. So really important to know that. And I think also when people talk about kindness sometimes, I think people think, oh, it's being kind to myself all the time and I don't need to challenge myself. I wonder if you could just talk to that a little bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I think, so for me, so I think kindness can have, you know, sometimes it's seen as the same as nice, you know, and it's that, you know, perhaps when we were children, you know, it's like, oh, be kind to your friends and be kind to your brother or your sister. Now, actually, kind can be tough. So nice, if we're being nice to ourselves, then yes, that's when we would be like, oh, well, I'm only going to do things that feel good. And it wouldn't take me out of my comfort zone. Whereas kindness absolutely can be very tough. So let's say there's a situation where you're thinking, okay, you've had your first assessment back or, you know, first assignment back, and you didn't do as well as you'd hoped. And if you're being unkind to yourself, you might let your inner voice, your inner critic be like, oh my goodness, like, you're so stupid. Like, I'm not clever enough to be here. I am going to fail. I may as well just leave uni now. Actually, showing yourself kindness would firstly be sort of flipping that to be like, okay, it's the first assignment. You know, I did my best. It is only one assignment. It's not going to, that doesn't map out the rest of my future at university. I can go and talk to my tutor, or I can try a different avenue next time. But it's that one thing isn't defining you. And actually, it's like, no, again, reminding myself of why I'm here. And yeah, okay, I'm a bit disappointed. That's okay to be disappointed. But I deserve to be here. I want to be here. And so, yeah, it may feel that you just want to run away. But actually, that's, you know, that's not the kind thing for you, because actually you know why you're there, you want to be there. So there is a difference. So yes, kindness can be tough.
Yeah. And I think that's a really lovely example to use, because I think it's one that so many students experience. And yeah, they can feel that this is, you know, disaster. And the standards are different at university. So often there is that dip initially.
Yes.
That's the first thing. Also, you're there to be challenged and to grow academically. Yeah, and so
absolutely.
It's not really, if it was easy from day one, the question would be, why are you there? If you can do it already,
exactly.
Then you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
You'd
so
be bored.
This is about being stretched in a new and a different way and learning. And that's the exciting part of it, I think.
Yes, it is.
So,
it is.
Yeah. Well, one of the exciting parts of it.
Yes.
Lots of exciting parts.
Lots of them.
Obviously. So the thing is, we talked a lot about kindness for ourselves and supporting ourselves. What about in terms of supporting others? Because I think the university sometimes can be a bit competitive. There can be a lot of comparisonitis going on. And that's not always a sort of positive, it doesn't build for a positive environment, does it? So how can we nurture kindness between students and the whole environment, really?
So I think, you know, the number one is really looking out for each other. And in those early days, unless you're going with people you already know, and some of you will be, you'll have only just begun to get to know people. But I think really looking out for each other is key. And I think don't underestimate the small gesture of, oh, do you fancy a coffee? Or do you fancy going for a drink? Do you fancy a walk? How are you finding things? So small gestures. And then building on that, be inclusive. We all know, And I imagine we've all been in those situations where we feel slightly on the outside, whether that's at school, whether that's been in, you know, any part-time jobs that you've had, invite them in, just, oh, we're going to the union, did you want to come? Oh, we're nipping down to Tesco's, do you need anything or did you want to come with us? Always, again, be thinking, if it was you on the outside, how grateful, and I don't mean that in a pity way, but how you'd be like, that again, that's so kind that they've been asked and invited in. And then I think and another big one, and not to sort of, you know, get into a morose tone, but if you, you know, check in with people, yes, you may not know these people at a deep level at this stage, but if you're sensing that someone's maybe not good, are you okay? Or, you know, just take them aside and you seem a bit quiet, or I just wanted to check in, you know, are you okay? And what I would really stress is that if you feel to a point that there's ever someone is really struggling, then talk to someone, you know, whether it's your tutor, or I'm sure there's lots of mental health sort of provision and services at a university. So I think it's always better to be overly cautious in those things. So yes, do look out for each other. And again, you would want people to do that for you. So I think show kindness to each other.
Absolutely. And never underestimate, I always think this, the power of just those micro moments of connection. Just as you hold the door open for somebody as they're coming in, just saying hello, smiling. Yeah, little things make a big difference to people's days.
So, yeah,
and you've mentioned they do. Those. You mentioned mental health there, and I was just thinking one of the questions I was going to ask you, which I kind of skipped. Let's just go back a stage. Often there's that feeling of nerves and you know, a bit fearful at the beginning, but then some students describe themselves as feeling very anxious about things. Anxious, particularly social anxiety, is one that is talked about quite frequently. And I just wonder whether you have some thoughts around how students can manage those feelings for themselves.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think, again, it's knowing, first off, that you won't be the only one. And I think I referenced earlier, there will be other people that seem as though they're fine, that are fine, but there will also be people that seem that they're fine, that aren't. And actually, someone looking at you from the outside might observe that actually you look fine. So, you know, there is that piece in knowing that you aren't. I think there's also just reminding yourself that there's additional pressure now that I didn't have when I started uni. Facebook was, I think, just starting. I mean, thankfully, I think, yeah, I didn't have social media, but actually, you know, we know there's a lot of pluses with it as well. But I think just remind yourselves that we know social media can be an over-inflated, not very realistic hate. So yes, you might see even your friends back home be like at different universities. He's like, oh my goodness, they're having an amazing time. Look at that night out they had in the union. Look at all those group shots with like loads of new friends. Well, yeah, they're not going to post a picture of them crying in their room in the evening because they're really struggling, for example. And I think when you're feeling anxious as well, what is it? What do you need at that moment? Is it some reassurance? Do you need to maybe pick up the phone to someone back home? Is it that you need to go for a run or go to the gym if that's what works for you? And almost go back to basics in terms of what are the, you mentioned micro moments, and I talk a lot as well about that, micro moments of self-kindness. You know, what small thing could I do to make myself feel better now? So yeah, anxiety can be a real challenge, and I speak personally, and I'm now 43, so now some really, you know, students be like, oh my goodness, you know, and I still manage that, but it doesn't need to define you. And I would say that it's natural for these feelings to be heightened during transition, which you are all in at the moment.
I like that answer very much, and I think the important thing to underline here is that, you know, if this sense of anxiety continues over, you know, several weeks, and you're not finding that any of your self-help approaches are working, then all universities have wellbeing services. So please go and talk to them, because
always
they are skilled at supporting you with this.
Yeah,
it's one of the
always. Yeah, and I would really encourage you to confide in someone, you know, as well. You know, whether it's a new friend that you've met at university, or whether it is a friend from home, share with someone how you're feeling. But yes. So they see.
And actually, I love the self knowledge bit is really important, because maybe this move to university will have given you the opportunity in a way to learn about yourself in ways that you haven't had to learn about yourself living in the comfort of home with your loved ones supporting you. And so you are going to discover things about yourself. You're going to find things that are challenging that you didn't know. And so understanding that, but then also learning how to sort of counter that. And you suggested strategies there in terms of, you know, if you like the gym, if you meet people, so on, talking to people. Really important to learn for yourself what works. And to test things.
Experiment.
So that brings me on to your tool. So let's have a quick chat through the tool, because I wanted to, this be around half an hour. We're getting towards that. So let's just talk quickly.
Let's do a whistle stop, because we'll share it. So it's called the Self-Kindness Compass. So like we've talked about, starting uni can be really overwhelming, and practicing self-kindness can help navigate those challenges, the anxiety, and sort of stay balanced. So it's intended to be a quick check-in tool when you're feeling particularly stark or worried. So it works on the northeast, southwest. I still in my head have to go never eat shredded wheat,
but I'm
navigationally challenged. But it stands for, so N, so the north is need. What do I need right now? So do I need a break, sleep, food, fresh air? Do I need to talk to someone, or do I need to be alone? So let's say, give an example for each. So after a long day of lectures, you're exhausted, but you're still like, oh, I need to study. I need to do some more bits. Check in and you're like, no, do you know what? I need to rest first. I need to rest. And actually tomorrow or whatever, you can focus a bit better. So N is for needs. E is for energy. So what's giving me energy and what's draining me? So what are the activities or people that make me feel drained? What one small thing could I do to lift my mood? So example, you've spent hours on coursework and you're feeling a bit fried. Instead of forcing yourself to do more, again, check in and think, okay, actually, let me listen to some music for 10 minutes. I'm going to go for a short walk. That will re-energize me. The S is self-talk. Now, for me, this is probably the most important one. How am I speaking to myself? So are you being too hard on yourself? Would you say this to your best friend? How can you reframe that thought with kindness? So again, building on the example I shared earlier, so you didn't do as well as you thought you might in your first essay. So instead of thinking I'm terrible, you think, okay, I'm learning and I can improve. And then the W is who can help. So who in my circle can support or encourage? Is there a friend or a tutor I can talk to? And have I been isolating myself when actually I need connection? Have you sort of been like, oh, I'm really struggling and everyone else is making friends. So have you taken yourself out, and do you need to, again, kind can be tough, remember. So do you need to extend yourself out of your comfort zone and go and see if someone wants to go for a walk? So an example there, you could be struggling with coursework, but you feel a bit embarrassed, how I'm at uni now, I shouldn't need help. But actually realize, well, no, tutors are here to help. So I'll reach out. So I won't read them now in terms of time, but the tool has got the needs, energy, self-talk, and who can help, and those questions and examples. But there's also some reflective questions that you can ask yourselves. So it's a simple tool, but it's useful particularly in those times where you're feeling what I like to refer to as a bit wobbly.
Yeah, brilliant. Yes, and it is a great tool, and we will make it available where the podcast is posted. So the link there will be there with the show notes to download this. So a final question then, Kim. One of the things that I think people find really challenging is actually asking for help. And a lot of the research is that we don't ask for help when we really should ask for help. Mm. And yet people love to be asked to help.
Absolutely.
So is that your experience? Is that how you've seen things?
And actually there's a book called Pined by Graham Alcott, and he talks about the ripple effect of kindness. And actually if we do something kind for someone, that person feels great. They then go and do a kind act for someone. Also, that act in the first place was observed by someone else, so they've then gone on to do a kind act. So it just extrapolates more and more. But think, you have to think, if you ever question yourself, oh, I don't want to ask for help, think about the last time someone asked for your help and how that made you feel. Mm-hmm. You know, we, human nature, we are social beings. We love to help people. And also, again, kindness being tough, it takes courage to ask for help. But that is part of how you are extending yourself kindness, because you're saying, actually, whether it's in how you're feeling or it's on coursework or how to actually microwave a jacket potato successfully without blowing up the microwave. Yes. So there are always willing people to help. Yeah,
great. Well, I think that's a really lovely note to finish on. Just tell people how they can sort of connect with you and learn more about your work.
Yes, absolutely. So my Instagram handle is at kindness.for.success. My website is just kindness4success, no.so anything.co.uk. And then I'm on LinkedIn, Kim Stokes. But all of, I guess, my socials are on my website. And yeah, just, you know, be kind to yourself. It is a huge transition time. And I think not only will you be supporting yourself now, you'll be setting yourself up for the rest of your university years and into your career, whatever that might be. So kindness first, always.
Well, thank you so much for sharing really, really helpful tips, insights, techniques and strategies. I think they're all going to be really helpful for students. So thank you to Kim for your time today.
Thanks so much.
So thank you so much, Kim, for all that really great information. Kim really shared lots of, I think, useful and practical suggestions on how you can develop positive self-kindness in times of transition. And of course, in this situation, this case, we were talking about that transition to university. Now, Kim mentioned her tool, the Self-Kindness Compass, and you can use that to help you think through your needs, your energy level, your self-talk, and who can help. And you can go and download a copy of that by going to the show notes for this episode, episode 91, and clicking on the link, which is titled Self-Kindness Compass. So if you want to know the URL for this episode, you go to rss.com/podcast/student-transitions and look for episode 91, the show notes, and there you'll see the link. So that's all for today. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a great week and we'll be back soon with the next episode. And actually, it's another episode with Kim where we're going to be talking about self-kindness tips, but this time not for students, for parents. So wishing you a great week. Bye-bye for now. And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information on this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.